Hey guys, this is Naeem, and you've reached the Mosaic Church podcast. So excited that you're part of our listening community, and I'd love for you to be even more connected. So check out our website. There's more content there, and there's more opportunities for you to get connected in our ministries and events as well. Also, love for you to share this content. If this is blessed to you, I know that God wants to use you to bless other people with it. So share this podcast, if you will. Lastly, would you consider supporting this ministry? This is made possible by other people's generosity, and I'd love for you to pay it forward. Join us to reclaim the message and the movement of Jesus together. So would you consider giving to this ministry? I know that God is able to do immeasurably more through us when we come together. Thank you so much. God bless you and enjoy.
Good morning. What? Nice. I love it. So, hey, if you're here and you're watching this and you're thinking, okay, I came to the 10:15 service. You're supposed to be live. What's going on here? Here's the deal, guys. Metro is turning one. Now, we're turning 13, but Metro is turning one, so we have to be there, and I have to be there. So I hope that you guys will be a part of what God's doing. I know you're here because of that. And so we're just going to have a great time. And this message is for you. So you walked in, you're like, oh, man, my name's not here live. It doesn't matter. I'm better on video anyways. Right? This is the 9 o'clock crowd, by the way. They're rowdy. Awesome. Hey, so I want to talk about what God's doing in us and around us. I want to talk a little bit about what God has done, or where he's taking us, but also I want to conclude our series called Hope for All, and it's kind of the heartbeat of our church. It's this idea that the message of Jesus is for all, and religion might say that's hope for some, but this message of Jesus is a hope for all. But before we get into the last part I want to talk to you about, let me ask you this. How many of you have ever done something grudgingly? Anybody? Like grudgingly? Have you ever raised your hand? Yeah, right? You have done that? Have you ever done something that you really did not want to do, but you did it anyways? So Friday nights for the last several years have been like family fun nights for us, okay? And basically what it is we started watching movies. And as the kids were older, I don't know why, but the movies were pretty good. Like what I mean by pretty good, we had no issues picking a movie. But now they're getting older, and I'm telling you, friends, it takes us 30 minutes to pick a movie. Everybody's got an opinion, apparently. And I'll tell you what, I usually don't have lingering bad attitudes. I just don't, okay? Don't ask my wife, but I don't have lingering bad attitudes. But I'll tell you what, when I'm made to watch a movie I did not want to watch or I'm not in the mood for, I'm like, Paddington, really? Am I watching that? I'm like, why am I a grown man watching that movie? You know what I'm saying? We saw Instant Family the other night. You know, and I don't know if you know this, but it's about adoption, foster care, and all that. See, they don't understand, like, the girls don't understand, like, I am very sensitive, okay? And you think I am. I'm the one boo-hooing, like, crying, like, 5 minutes into the movie. Like, not crying, like, wailing, but just, like, it's emotional. And it's a Friday night. Guess what I don't want to do on a Friday night? Cry, yes. I want something to blow up, not because I'm Middle Eastern, that's racist. You thought that, okay? No. But men, you understand what I'm talking about, right? Yes, I just want some stuff. I want violence. Not real violence. I don't want that. I'm not for that. Okay, I love peace. But just wanted to say that to everybody. But that's what I want. But I realize is that the older they get, it's the closer we are. But then even if I realize that they have this idea or they have a will, and it comes against my will, like my way and their way. And it's just harder as we get closer together, which is interesting. Because I think that is the scenario. That is the essence of even Christianity or this relationship with God. Because what happens is you get closer to him, and then you realize when at first you were like, you'll do whatever. But then as you get closer and grow in him, you realize that your will and his will actually clash. And what do you do? What do you do when God tells you to do something that you really don't want to do? Could it be possible that even right now there's a decision that you need to make, there's a text that you need to respond to, there is a phone call that you need to make, there's a conversation you have to have, a risk you got to take, there is something, you just feel it, you know that you're supposed to do something, you feel God's Spirit talking to you about it, but guess what? Guess what? You do not, what? Want to do it. You don't want to do it. What happens? What happens if you don't do it? And could it be possible that this weekend is about you saying yes to that what thing that God's calling you to do? It is saying yes to the call that God has for you, not in this season of your life. What could it be that what could change in your life if you just acted on that feeling, that sense of like, I know God wants me to do this. For some of you, it's to stay the course and what you're doing, to hold on, to not quit. Others of you is to move and take a risk. What hangs in the balance? And so here's what I want to do. I want to go to an Old Testament story. It's the book of Jonah. It's a story of Jonah. Anybody know the story of Jonah? All right. Okay, you do. All right. So here's the story of Jonah. Let me just summarize it for you. Jonah's the guy who got swallowed up by the whale. If you're wondering, Jonah, Noah, I get those confused. Jonah's the guy. Okay. So the story is this. The story is that Jonah, just to summarize, he gets called by God to go to a place and preach the gospel or preach God's message. He does not want to do that. He goes the opposite direction and takes off and then eventually gets thrown into the sea. And then a whale or a ship. A fish grabs him and then spits him out, and eventually he goes there, talks to those people, tells the people the story, and they all turn to God, and happy story, Disney ending. That's the children's version of the story. So this is the actual adult version of the story, okay? So here's how it starts off. Jonah chapter 3. So this is what happens. We're going to pick it up from the fact that Jonah went the opposite direction. So he gets called to a place called Nineveh, which is a Syrian group of people, not Jewish people. He was a Jewish prophet. So he was told to do something that no one else was told to do. He was told to actually not go to his people, but go to a different people, Gentiles, and preach something. He did not want to do it. He did not want to do it. For a lot of reasons, we know some of them. And as you know the story, he boards a ship, goes the opposite direction, and there is a huge storm. And if you don't know part of that, in that storm, they're afraid that they're all going to die. And Jonah tells them, I know why this storm is happening. I know what's happening. It's because of me. It's because of me. And then he tells them, the best thing you can do is actually to throw me out. Just throw me into the sea. Now, at that point, I need you to understand something. Jonah tried to commit suicide. Like, you don't get tossed into the sea. You don't say, hey, toss me into the sea if you want to survive. No, they're in a boat and they're scared. He just says, just throw me in the ocean. Because there was something inside of them that says, I just don't want to do what God wants me to do. And so he gets thrown in, and then, you know, the fish comes and gets him and then spits him out onto the land, Nineveh, and then he goes into the city. So let's pick it up right there. This is chapter 3. It says, then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. He says, get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I have given you. This time Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took him 3 days to see it all. On the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds. This is what he shouted. 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. This is the guy. This is the first doomsday prophet. Like, this is it. That was not the message. Like, he was there for 3 days, looked around. The best thing he could say is this. 40 days from now, you're all going to be dead. And that's the message. That was the title of his message. Okay? What happened? The people in Nineveh believed God's message. From the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and put burlap on them to show their sorrow. So basically, they repented. They turned around. In fact, the officials got involved. It was a huge city-wide revival. He gives the worst message ever. I'm annoyed with that because I spend a lot of time on my messages and only a few people respond. He has the worst attitude. He says, you're all going to die. Everybody turns to God. Okay? The next chapter. Okay? So, they repent. God does not destroy the city. Then we pick it up. The next chapter. Verse 1. This change of plans greatly upset Jonah. And he became what? Very angry. Very angry. So he complained to the Lord about it. Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? Like, he is ticked off. He delivers the worst message ever. Everybody is saved. Everybody turns around. It's a good story, but he's ticked off. And then he's ticked off and he says this, I knew this would happen. I knew it. And that's why I ran to Tarshish. I knew that you are merciful and compassionate God. You're slow to get angry and you're filled with unfailing love. I don't like it. What? And then he goes on and says, you are eager. You are so eager to turn back from destroying people. What is wrong with you? Send someone to hell, why don't you? What? And then verse 3, what does he say? What? Just kill me now. What? Lord, and then he says this, Lord, I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predicted did not happen. Whoa, bro. Calm down, man. What's going on with you? Having a bad day, bad season, bad whatever? What you doing? You hear from God personally. You're like close to God. And he's like, I would rather die. Have you ever like, you're like, I don't want to be wrong. I don't want to be wrong. He's ticked off. He's ticked off. So then, just to continue the story, what happens is that he's so mad, he goes and hangs out outside the city to a place where he can look at the city, and he's hoping that God changes his mind, that the city is destroyed. And it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. And then God allows a tree to be grown, and I don't know how long this took, but gave him shade over to give him shade against the sun. And the story is that God provided that, and then a worm came and destroyed the plant, and now he's ticked off at the plant. He's like, I can't believe I'm doing this now. Like, he's just mad and angry. And have you ever been like just you want to kick things? Have you ever done that? You're just mad at everything. Everybody and everything. You're like, oh, my computer. Just random things. And he's like, he's just mad at everything. Then let's pick up the last chapter. And then the God starts talking to him again. So then the Lord said, he's like, hey, so you feel sorry about the plant. The plant. Though you did not do nothing, did you do nothing to put it there. It came up quickly and died quickly. But Nineveh, we're talking about Nineveh again. I don't want to talk about Nineveh. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness. Not to mention all the animals. Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city? So, the journey that Jonah has been, I mean, he doesn't want to go, goes the opposite direction, would rather die than be sent to those people, tries to die, that gets taken by a fish. In the fish, there's a whole prayer. He's like, not like this. I don't want to die like this. I'm sorry. Gets spit out. Eventually goes to the city. God saves the city. He's ticked off. Hangs out next to a plant. Plant dies. He's like, I can't believe you did this. I feel sorry for the plant. And God says, you feel sorry for the plant. You feel sorry for the plant. But what about all those people? What about all those people? He says, shouldn't I feel sorry? Shouldn't I have mercy on all those people? And then Jonah says, you're right. You're so right. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. The book ends like that. It is the only book that ends with God asking a question and the dude does not respond. He is so mad. Now, eventually, I think he got better because we have the book. Like, he told someone about this. Okay, so I'm thinking he got therapy. That's good. He got something. He got it out. Okay? But it ends with this. It ends with God saying, shouldn't I feel sorry? And he goes, whatever. Whatever. See, isn't it profound that sometimes we think that the things that God calls us to are always going to be the things that we want to do? And I'm so excited about the fact that this weekend we're celebrating a call that God has put on me and Ashley, but also to people who have been here for so long, for the past 13 years. And I'm so excited about Metro as well, that people have like journeyed with them and for so long to go, hey, we're going to go after a certain group of people. We're going to go after a people group that might not be our people group. We're going to go after a people and we're going to give hope for all people. It doesn't matter who they are. And so when we started Mosaic 13 years ago, the reason why we left Charleston, South Carolina is because we wanted to reach a diverse people group. I mean, that was the heartbeat of our church. I mean, in fact, the mission, the big reason why we exist is we want to reclaim the message and the movement of Jesus. That's why as a church we exist, to reclaim this. Why? Because the message of Jesus has been taken over and painted on and added to. The movement of Jesus has been the same thing. It's been added to. It's been has been changed up. It's been confused with people putting their own agenda to it. And so now church and community looks very different. And the message of Jesus is very different. And so we're here. We exist to reclaim. Like, hey, no. This is really the message. That's why our doors are open. That's why we're at Metro. That's why we're here. To just say, hey, this is what we're reclaiming. Reclaiming this message. And this is a message not for some. It's for hope. It's not like Jonah. Jonah was like, I'm not going. No. Hope is for some people. It's for Jewish people. It's not for the Gentiles. And God's saying, no, I'm for the Gentiles. I'm for all people. It's a message of hope for all people. And that's the reason why we as a church exist. And what we see, if our mission is to reclaim the message and the movement of Jesus, then our vision is to see, what does that look like? It looks like a diverse people coming together to live by faith, to be known by love, and to be a voice of hope. And it starts with us being comfortable with the fact that we are for all people. We are a diverse community who does that. And so I love that we're doing that. But I'll tell you what, it is very different. It is so different from normal Christianity sometimes. Because I didn't grow up in Christianity and I came to faith and then I started attending different churches. And some churches I would go to and people would just have these encouraging things to say about me. But there was a theme that I started picking up on. People would come up to me and they go, you know what, I had a vision, or I just sense this and I really believe this is true. And this was it. Consistently, I kind of kept on hearing this. You are going to go to your own people. You're going to go to your people and reach your people. And at first I was like, yeah. And then I kept on hearing it and I was like, no, I don't want to do that. Because I don't know if you know, but because my people don't like me. My people will kill me. Yeah. I have like, and then when I got religious asylum as a refugee, as a religious refugee in the States, and then I would go to church and be like, you're gonna go back to your people. And I'm like, no, I'm not. It's not happening. I wouldn't tell them. I'm like, thank you, sir. Thank you. Whatever. I'm not doing that. Okay? I'm not doing that. Because I think sometimes when you know there is the faith and the message of Jesus is being infiltrated by religion, this is how you find it. This is when you realize is that when the message of Jesus is for a certain kind of people and our language becomes very exclusive, like this is our people, this is our church, this is our Jesus, this is our God. And then our songs are like that and our language is like that. See, I want you guys to understand something. What God is doing here is so profound. See, we have the mind of Moses. We think in the mind of Moses. Moses' idea, the big idea was what? He said, go to the Pharaoh and tell them what? Let what? my people go. Let my people go. So now what we've done is in throughout Christianity, we've taken this my people idea and followed it along. And so always it's like my people, my God, my people. We reach my people. I reach my people. Our church, we reach our people. We cater to our people. It's like our people. And there's a stark difference between the mind of Moses, in which most of us work in, to the opposite, which is, I think, is the heart of Abraham. And the heart of Abraham is that that God says, hey, I'm picking you, and you're going to be a father to what? All nations. All nations. All nations. And for some reason, somewhere, this message of Jesus and the movement of Jesus has been taken over by the mind of Moses. No, it's just our people. It's just our people. It's just our people. And it is profound to me when you look at the life of Jesus and how he interacted. When he would praise someone's great faith. In fact, he's used special words to explain the kind of faith that people have shown two different times in the New Testament that's been recorded. And both of them were not Jewish people. He continually says to them, hey, I know you're talking about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, but let me just tell you, many will come from the east and the west and take part in the same table. Like, I'm not here for the Jewish people. It's not that. I chose them to be to tell the story of God through them. But this hope is for all people. Is for everyone. You know, I got several like text messages and just encouragement from pastors. I mean, even this morning I got one and that just said, hey, you know, this is so excited for you, so excited. And I stopped and I thought, you know what? Some of these are making me feel strange because they're like, they don't really come across like that. But I'm thinking, they're like, you made it. You're still standing. Oh my gosh, we didn't think you would do it. You know, like that kind. And I get it. I totally understand that. I totally understand that for some people, they're like, I can't believe you've lasted. I cannot believe you've lasted. And guess what? I'm not going to tell them, I can't believe I've lasted. You know what I'm saying? I remember our first year. This is when I realized I was like, I don't know what I started. I was talking to a pastor who's starting Mosaic in Seattle. And so I got to pray with him a couple of days ago. They're starting this weekend. So pumped about them. We were talking about the early days. And he was like, man, so we were just kicking this off. You've been going for 13 years. Any advice? I was like, whew, don't do it. No. I didn't say that. But so we left Charleston to go and create a diverse community and reach a people group that were not our people group. I mean, I didn't go after Pakistanis. In fact, I talked to some Middle Easterns that come in to the service sometimes, and they go, oh, man, this is not what I expected. And I was like, what do you mean? They're like, actually, I expected all Middle Eastern people. And they're like, and I thought, wow, really? Yeah. He's like, when he says, you know, we don't realize because what you're doing here, like with the community that you have, a diverse community, it's pretty strange for you to be an immigrant, not Christian, became a believer Christian, non-seminary person, you know, interracial marriage. I mean, and then you're starting a church in the South, and you called it Mosaic, which sounds a lot like mosque. I mean, you're a genius. You're a genius, you know? And I was like, right, that's true. But I was driven by this idea that God was calling us to reach all people, driven by like going and reaching a people that were not my people. But our first year, I remember sitting down with a guy and I talked to him about how his behavior a little bit. It was early on and he was just making a lot of people feel very uncomfortable. And I talked to him a little bit about that. And I told him, hey man, you can't really be on our volunteer staff anymore. Because of your behavior. Okay, it was a hard conversation. I didn't want to do it. Did it. And so he talked to some other people. Eventually, word got out. I don't know. And he sent me an email that scared the bejesus out of me. Because he was like, I found out that you talked to me, do you talk to other people about me? This is slander. I'm going to have you deported. I know, blah, blah, such and such. He got me convinced that he was going to take me to court and throw me out of the country. I flipped out. I was like, oh my goodness, I should have just gone after my own people. Like, these people are crazy. Like, what's going on here? I called Gerardo Marty, who's a part of Mosaic. He'll probably be, he's probably might be in the service. And he called me. He was like, hey, and he said this, I'll never forget this. This is like 13 years ago. He was like, this is a distraction. This is from the enemy. Do not listen to this. Keep going. You're not doing anything wrong. And I just stuck to those words. But friends, doing something that God calls you to do and then having serious doubts about it is normal. It is very, very normal. But the question is, will you move forward and will you do it? Will you move in God's power? Will you do this? You know, we had our first Wednesday service this past Wednesday. And you know, I don't know how many of you guys were there, but something happened. Something happened, shifted in our church. And in me, I just got to be honest with you. We did like one song, and then I came out to just do a welcome, like I always do, hyped people up, and I walked out. And friends, the presence of God, and you might go, what does that mean? I don't know, man. The goosies, if you want to call it that, I don't know what. Something hit. I couldn't finish. In fact, at one point, I just sat on the stage. I was like, I don't even know what to do here. And I was reminded again, man, what this world needs is not my power. Here's what this world needs. This world needs my presence, but his power. My presence, but his power. See, God said, hey, this is what Jesus said to his disciples before he left. He says, But you will receive power. This is Acts chapter 1. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the what? Ends of the earth. See, God's plan is, if you would be present, if you are willing, if you are... If you're just willing to be fully engaged, fully convinced that God wants to use you, if you would do that, man, my power will flow heavily through you. See, our default is this. Our default is we live a life sometimes of like our power and his absence. Like, that's really what normal world looks like. It's just our power, which means like we're muscling through things, we're trying to figure it out, it's our wisdom, our brains, we're trying to figure out what we're trying to do, and we muscle through things, but it's his absence. But the kingdom of heaven and this eternal life that God's calling us to live is the opposite. It's our presence, because he wants us to be actively, fully involved in the life of the people all around us. There's a reason why you work in that job. There's a reason why you're part of this family. There's a reason why you're part of this church. There's a reason why you have these kind of friends. There's a reason why you even get coffee there. There's a reason why you have these conversations. There's a reason why you're Facebook friends with so-and-so. There's a reason for all of these there. And you have to be fully engaged and fully present. But just so you know, you just have to be present. And his power will come. It's about his power. Here's what 2 Timothy reminds us. He says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but what? Of power and love and self-control. See, God has given us this power of more of what we think is possible. There is supernatural power that lives inside of you. And so all the things that God is calling you to do, the little things, the I don't know if I should do this, or I'm so afraid to have this conversation, or I'm so afraid to let this person go, I'm so afraid to ask this person, I'm so afraid to try this, I'm so afraid to do this. All the anxiousness, all the stress, all of those little things that you're facing, just know there is a spiritual part of that. There is a counterpart to that. And that counterpart is going to be accessed through one simple thing called obedience. It's not effort, honestly, it's just obedience. All you have to do is walk through that door. All you have to do is just do the thing you know you're supposed to do. So when it comes to like the one thing that God's calling you to do and you don't want to do it, all you have to do is just do it. And here's how gracious God is. Even if you do it with a terrible attitude, he opens up supernatural doors for you. And I'm not saying always have a bad attitude. Did you hear me? I'm not saying that. But you can preach a message that is opposite of love. Like you can have the worst attitude. And God says, I'm gonna turn this. I'm gonna turn this. So I just want you to realize this. As we move forward as a church, man, I wanna be fully entrenched in God's power, knowing that we are here not to just make a natural difference. We are here to make a supernatural difference in the lives of people. And so, man, I pray that those of you who've joined us and journeyed with us, and I see some of you guys in the crowd as well, who've journeyed with us all these 13 years, and for those of you who've just come on, man, come with us. Be a part of us. Let's reclaim this message and movement of Jesus together. Let's see what God does when we just step into obedience, step into a moment of intense stress and fear, sometimes risking it all, and see what God does. You know, I've told you guys this before, that my one prayer over my kids, and I still do it. They're older, and I still do it. I pray this one prayer. I pray the Joshua prayer, that God, that you would make them strong and courageous. That God, you would make them strong and courageous. That they would be strong and courageous, and because you are going to go with them wherever they go. And what's unique about that is that when when God tells Joshua, hey, I want you to be strong and courageous, he tells him this: I promise you, wherever the ground that you take, the ground that you step on, I promise you I'll be there. But only the ground you step on. Did you hear that? Only the ground you step on. And for some of you, you're not stepping. You're not stepping on any ground. And God's like, I can't. What do you want? You can have the ground you step on. You can have this opportunity if you go for it. You can go through that door and see the difference if you go through it. You will have all the ground you step on. All I want you to do is be strong and courageous. And friends, we have to be strong and courageous as we move forward. Because this message of hope is not for a few elect people who are perfect. It is for what? All. Hey, let's pray together. Can you stand? Lord God, I just thank you so much for this weekend and what this means. I thank you, God, that there are people here who walked in and they didn't know what they were going to get. They had all kinds of ideas of how you're going to talk to them and speak to them. But God, you're here. You're here and they know it. God, there are some people that you have been talking to for years and you're not letting go of this invitation, this opportunity, this thing they need to do. God, I pray that this weekend would mark the end of fear and anxiety in people's lives. that they would walk courageously towards what you have called them to do. God, I pray for boldness beyond measure. I know, God, that your power, when it goes on us, when it comes upon us, God, when your Spirit falls on us, we have this supernatural ability to love more, to risk more, to try more things, to accept more, to have more forgiveness and grace for people, more discipline in our lives, more the power to say no to things that tempt us. God, I pray that, God, this weekend would mark the end of our effort, the beginning of your power in our lives. God, once again, we say this, Jesus, I give you my life. Fill me with your presence. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.